From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm John Sepulvedo. On the eve of Thanksgiving, consider this. One of every 10 people in the Bay Area is hungry. Now, I don't want you to turn away. I want you to listen because we are going to tell you over the next half hour of how you can help places like the Marin San Francisco Food Bank and what you can do when you see someone who is struggling with food security. Then at 9:30, even as rain is helping tamp down the campfire in Butte County, hundreds of people are still missing and thousands are displaced and unsure what to do next. We talk with three KQED journalists for an update on the fire and its continuing aftermath. That's next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm John Sepulvedo, in for Michael Krasny. While some people are planning elaborate meals for the holidays, others are struggling to get by. Even while unemployment remains historically low, about 1 in 10 people in the Bay Area, a total 870,000 people, are what we call food insecure or have limited or unstable access to adequate food. We're joined right now by someone who went through that himself. His name is Mike Bartell. He's formerly homeless. He's a user of the food bank now. And Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your experience facing a lack of food. I imagine it wasn't something that just began right away. So let's start at the beginning. When did this start happening to you?
Well, I'd say when the economy fell through, I think it was, 2008?
Yeah.
All right. I basically lost everything, and I became homeless.
What were you working as at the time?
At the time, I was working in a company called CompuMail. It was a billing.
Mm-hmm. A billing service center.
Yeah. They printed it and sent it out in the mail. All right. So I became homeless, and then they helped me. I got a little bit of food from the Contra Costa County Food Bank.
Okay.
All right. And I'm a veteran. And so the veterans got me housing over on Treasure Island.
The VA.
The VA.
Yeah.
All right. And then I met the people from the San Francisco Marin Food Bank because we have a pantry there. And I volunteered to help set up and pass out food. And then I found out that I could take some of that food home with me, which saved me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't eating proper, you know, just junk food. And so I started taking the vegetables home and cooking, and I'm healthy again.
I got to say, you look good.
Yeah.
You look great, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really, with these people's help, I got my health back up to par.
Well, let's talk about the times when the health wasn't up to par. Take me to the morning.
When I was homeless?
Yeah. Where would you wake up, and what was the first things you did?
Well, I would wake up I was homeless, and I lived behind this Trader Joe's in Concord in the parking lot.
So you were food insecure while living behind a modern grocery store?
Yes, because okay. I had no income except for if I went out and panhandled in the morning, which I don't like doing that, you know, because it's embarrassing. But so when I'd get up in the morning, I would go over to, say, Starbucks that was in the community too, and I would set up their outside furniture. In return, those wonderful people would give me a hot bowl of oatmeal and some coffee.
Okay.
All right. So, and Trader Joe's, I'd try to volunteer to do something with them, and then they would kick me some food. And then for the rest of the day, I didn't eat nothing, you know. And then I'd go back at nighttime at 8:30 to Starbucks and put the furniture up, and then they would, you know, give me some pastries or sandwich or coffee. So that was my food.
When you were behind the Trader Joe's, was part of that strategic because you could go through the stuff they were throwing away?
No.
Okay,
no.
So why was it good to stay then behind the Trader Joe's?
Well, because I felt safe and you know, I knew there was people out there that cared, mm-hmm. cared about, you know, what was going on with me. So it was just a safe place, you know.
When you would get to that point, so it sounds like in the morning you would exchange the labor of putting out the stuff for food.
Yeah.
You said you didn't like panhandling because it was embarrassing to you. So what would you do when you would start to get hungry as the afternoon and evening wore on? Like, what were some of the things that you would think about or What was your experience like?
Well, you get to the point that you try not to think about being hungry.
Okay, so what would you do to distract yourself?
Just go for walks, talk to people, just anything but listening to your stomach growl and say, hey, we're hungry. And I tell my stomach, I'm doing the best we can. You know, I'll get you something to eat later if I can. But right now, we just, so.
I know that, as I was telling you before we began, I have my own experiences. And I know that based on those experiences, some people, it was very difficult for them to go to sleep when they were hungry.
Oh, yeah. It takes a few, I want to say a few dozen hours. But I mean, normally, like right now, when I go home and I go to bed, I'll be asleep in 15, say 20 minutes at tops. All right.
Power sleep.
But when I was out there, when I was hungry, I would lay down because you think if you turn your brain off, the rest of your body will, you know, but it takes so long because your body keeps saying, are we going to eat?
The stomach just gnarls at you. Yeah.
Till you build up a thing where you just shut it off.
But now when you eat, and as simple as eating, how do you experience it differently than before you lost your job, before this downturn in your life?
Well, I appreciate my food more, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it. I'm so thankful that I get the opportunity to get this food because on my budget right now, if I had to go to the store and buy my carrots, buy my potatoes, you know, all the stuff that these people give out, I still would not get everything, all right? These guys have no idea how much it helps us people, us low-income or, you know, people, how much it helps us to keep our health, to get our nutrition. Mm. So...
Did you get just one last question, Mike, on this particular subject? Did you find yourself, I don't want to lead you in this, but I know I've heard from other people, they get depressed, they get sad. And their outlook is just, they get snappy when they don't eat.
Yes. You get very moody.
Yeah.
Your blood sugar
falls. You can't sleep.
Yeah. You get angry.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the right word. Angry. You just become different. All right. And that happened to me. I got this way, and now that I'm back getting all my food and stuff, not only have they helped me with my nutrition, but they've helped me with my attitude. I am the most happiest person right now you will ever meet in your life. I'm telling you. And I give it back to everybody at the food pantry that I serve.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for these guys helping me.
Michael, I want you to stay right there in the studio because we're going to come back to you in just a moment. We're going to first ask our listeners to call in with their stories of either being food insecure themselves or helping folks with food insecurity. 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. You can also tweet us your questions. We're at KQED Forum. I want to turn now to Gloria Hernandez. Gloria, thank you so much for being here on Forum. And Gloria, you are a food bank client. You're also a recipient of Meals on Wheels. I think your story is a little bit different than Mike's, but tell us why it is that you turned to the food bank, why you use Meals on Wheels.
Well, actually, as far as hunger goes, severe hunger was 1972. I got a divorce as a single parent raising 10-year-old son, 12-year-old son, and boys eat more than girls. I went down to 104 pounds. I became secondary anemia. I was losing my teeth. And so food not only affects you as far as being hungry and needing food, but it affects your whole being. In other words, as far as health goes mentally, I became depressed. As far as emotionally, I lived in fear for my sons. I wasn't so much worried about me. It was my sons. Mentally, spiritually, I just felt like there wasn't any more help. Mm-hmm. And being hungry is, to me, one of the most horrible things there is.
Why? I mean, it sounds like a silly question almost, but why? Tell us, bring us to that hunger.
I mean, I got to the point that I didn't even know I was hungry. In other words, my whole being was that I wanted to make sure my kids had food. In fact, my youngest one said to me one day, because I worked, but I couldn't afford to feed me and have them eat well. And my younger son said to me one day, he says, Mom, when do you eat? I said, well, I eat at work. And then he saw me with black eyes because I wasn't
anemia.
Yeah, anemic and everything. But the hunger for me, I think, was more devastating because I had sons. Mm-hmm. And they were top honored students and everything. And my son took my hand, my younger son at 10 years old took my hand once, and he says, Mom, he says, I know that you're a very proud person, and I know you're ashamed to ask for help. He says, but we need to get help. He says, I called anonymously on the phone, and we qualify.
For, like, food aid or
food, food stamps and everything. And I remember when I went there, the ladies took my hand, and she says, people like you that need it don't want to come. And I remember the first time I got the food stamps, and my sons went with me, because it's all correlated with Meals on Wheels and everything. First time I got those food stamps, it was Christmas.
You know, I know you're reliving this, and I'll give you a second. First of all, I want to say thank you on behalf of your boys. My mom was a single mother. She told us the same thing, that she ate at work. She lost some of her teeth in her back when she went to college. And she lived off of a diet, I swear to the good Lord, she lived off a diet of Diet Coke and cigarettes. Yeah. And I mean, I've never seen anyone do that. And she did it to make sure that her four children can eat. So I understand that. I also know how much it means to us, her children, all of us, you know, turned out okay. Or we like to think so.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So I really appreciate you doing that for your sons, and I imagine your sons must really appreciate it now. And it must be still kind of frustrating to rely on things like Meals on Wheels to a certain extent, being as proud as you are.
Not anymore.
Why not? What changed?
I think what changed was the first time that I got the food stamp to see my son really be able to enjoy, because we had a lot of pasta, which is very common with, mm-hmm. because it's cheap protein, vegetables cost more. And to see how it made them rejuvenate, to relive, I mean, to be not concerned about me. And I put on weight. I put on like 10 pounds. And that right then and then I thought, I will never again. It's almost like that movie Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
I will never again, ever, ever be ashamed to ask for help. And then I worked with dual diagnosed for the state of Illinois. It was a counselor and everything, but my health deteriorated in 2002. And that I was living here, and that was devastating. And I couldn't work anymore. And then finally, it took me 4 years to ask for help. 2006, I found out that there's Meals on Wheels. Oh, my God. To me, it's still Santa Claus. Every time they come with their groceries, I mean, everything is so well planned. I mean, you've got the protein, the vegetables, nothing. Mm-hmm. In other words, it isn't a bunch of food thrown at you.
No, and you're not getting just leftover stuff.
Exactly.
It's very, very well thought out.
Very, very well thought out.
In San Diego County, we had something similar that my family was a recipient of as we were growing up. It was called Share. And it was essentially they'd give you these boxes, and it had your protein, your starches, and we were really lucky when we got a little treat in there, but mostly it was fruit. So, you know, we were eating very, very healthy. What has been your involvement on the volunteer side then? Because I understand that sometimes you volunteer with Meals on Wheels. Did I read that right?
Well, where I live.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, well, I live in a senior building.
Okay.
And everybody is so grateful. I mean, it's beautiful. In other words, I'm at the other side now, giving out the food. Mm. But yet, I'm also receiving so much from them. I feel like every time they look at me and you know, they're so thankful and so grateful. And they say, oh, my God, you know, we got apples today. We got carrots today. I mean, it just, it's like Christmas for all of us. Mm. And the fact that, I mean, where I live, the Meals on Wheels comes to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you realize, I mean, one of the things that I think is so important that people need to know, and thank you from my heart to yours, to every one of you who donate towards the Meals on Wheels, we really, really need it. We really, really need it. And we would be starving. We would be starving because it's so expensive to live, especially in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I live in poverty. Thank goodness I live in a low-income senior building. But if it wasn't for Meals on Wheels, it wasn't for the food bank, I would be back where I was in 1972 with anemia and everything else.
Gloria, I want you to stand by. We're going to go to a caller now, Mary Ann from San Rafael. Mary Ann, you have a question for Mike. Tell us what that question is.
Hi, good morning. I want to thank Mike for sharing his story, and I wanted to ask him now that he's seen the situation from both sides, what advice would he give to individuals like me who want to help the homeless and people on the street and hungry? I feel terrible walking by and not giving them money. I feel terrible walking by and ignoring. And, you know, what's the best way for us to help on a larger scale rather than just, giving money to a homeless individual who's panhandling? And San Rafael has meters in downtown that are pink, and they encourage.
And many cities do, Marianne. Meters. Yeah. Those areas where you're supposed to contribute, and then that goes to one of the organizations that help out. Mike, let's go to that question. You know, Marianne articulated something that many people feel. They want to help, but they've been told don't give directly. People might be in crisis. What would you say to that?
Well, first off, don't feel bad for not giving them any money, cash, because I think that's the worst thing that we're all doing for the people.
Why?
Because half of it goes for the things that they don't need, and they don't really spend it on good nutrition, you know, for food.
Okay. Right?
That's what I've learned from being homeless for that 5 years. But to give them something, like from the food bank, I get a turkey every Christmas. Right? And what I do is I take it home, I cook it, and then I slice it up, go get like 9 loaves of Wonder Bread and put some mayonnaise. I make sandwiches and I pass them out on Christmas Day to people.
So you think it's better to give directly food if they have the time to give the organization,
yeah,
but not to give?
Yeah, because I think that would solve a lot of problems if you didn't give them cash.
Mike, I would assume just very briefly before we go to our next guest that when you see someone who is homeless who was in your former position, I would imagine that you feel conflicted too because you know what it's like for them to be in that desperate moment that second. But you also are coming from where Marianne is, which is that, and what you just told her, it's not, as you would think, in the best interest to give directly to that person.
Right. It's just, from my experience, I empathize with them because I know what they're going through. But I also know that if I do certain things for them, it's going to do more harm than good.
Yeah.
You know, so it's better just to give them some food or, bless your heart, to donate, like, to the food bank.
Well, speaking of that, let's go now to the Director of Community Engagement at the San Francisco Marin Food Bank, Katie McKnight. Katie, you've heard these stories. I mean, these must be the kinds of things you're hearing all the time. A lot of people, 870,000 people in the Bay Area going through some variation of this.
We do, John. I mean, you know, Mike and Gloria's story is, like, sadly are not unique here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. You know, you alluded to that, you know, nearly, you know, over 800,000 people that are at risk of hunger. And we think it probably is even more than that, that we just don't know about. You know, that hidden need of hunger is so great here in the Bay Area. And there's so much work to be done. And, you know, we hear stories like this often. And we talk a lot about hunger has so many faces. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's our unhoused population. It's seniors living on a fixed income, families who just can't make ends meet. Kids whose only guaranteed meal is the lunch that they get in school. I mean, stories like this are, mm-hmm. Sadly, we do hear often.
Mm-hmm. The recommendation from Marianne had that question, of course, about like whether to give directly. Mike says it's not a good idea. What would you say as somebody who sees this on the street and people want to help in that moment?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is hard to, you know, walk or drive by, but you know, we do believe that hunger and homelessness is such a systemic problem, and that mm-hmm. there's really so much work to be done, that really finding the organizations that speak to that direct like avenue of poverty that you really want to support. So whether it's one of, you know, the many fantastic homeless organization and assistance programs we have here in the Bay Area, or whether it's a food bank or one of our partner agencies like Meals on Wheels, that really finding a way to support agencies like that, whether it be financially or as a time donor or as a product donor, really allows those organizations to leverage their resources and have a greater impact.
Heather writes in that she thinks it's always better for organizations to get consistent funds than to not know when the money is going to come in. She gives to the Alameda County Food Bank every month with an automatic donation, rather. I would imagine you have something similar for San Francisco Marin that folks can just give that monthly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gift.
We love monthly donors. So okay. Monthly donors are fantastic to organizations like the food banks across all of the Bay Area counties for a variety of reasons. It lowers our administrative costs because it's automatically coming. And again, we, you know, to Heather's point, we know it's consistent. We know exactly we can count on those.
It helps you budget.
It helps our budget sure. And really, it's, you know, for that, it's a lifeline for food banks to have that.
We're going
to
go to one last call as we bring this segment to a close. John, very, very briefly, John, tell us a little bit about why you think people should not give money directly. You were homeless for 8 years.
I was homeless for 8 years, and when I was hungry and somebody handed me a sandwich for a dollar, I was very grateful. I don't know what these people were talking about.
Well, I think
I don't think they've been there.
No, John. I think there was a miscommunication in that. They're saying that not to give direct money. Do you agree with that very briefly? They're not saying about food. They say, yes, make sandwiches, or if you buy a sandwich or whatever, share that.
Why did this guy assume that all homeless people take the money and use it for drugs or alcohol? You know, a lot of us buy food with it. A lot of us are hungry.
That, you know what, John, that is a good point. And, you know, Mike, I wish we had more time that I could go back to you, but obviously not everyone who is homeless or food insecure obviously is not a drug addict or an alcoholic, although I want to say there's nothing wrong with that too. People need to get help for that. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in someone's life. That's what this segment was to remind you of. You can find resources if you are fortunate enough to help those whose lives have taken a downward turn for the moment by going to kqed.org/forum. I want to thank all my guests. I'm sorry we don't have more time for this, but thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
Stay in with us at Forum. We're going to talk about the campfire. We're also going to talk about what FEMA is doing in response. Stay with us.